Blog Talk Radio.
God gives us that opportunity, and what are we going to do with it? Are we going to open our eyes? Let's give him some praise right now.
Thank you, Lord. Hey,
hallelujah.
Thank
you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus, for all that you
thank
do.
Thank you.
In the name
Amen.
Of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. Today, we will be talking about Sister Andrea. She will be speaking on, just hold on 1 second, she will be speaking on You Tried Me with scriptures Genesis 50 and 20. But before we get started, Sister Beverly, would you like to open us up in prayer?
I sure will. Praise the Lord. Dear Heavenly Gracious Father, it is once and again that we come before your precious throne of grace, and just to give your name the praise, the glory, and the honor. As always, we thank you for this blessed opportunity to be able to have a word coming forth, a word that you have put down in the heart today of our sister Andrea. We pray, Father God, that you would just bless her as only you can bless her in this delivery, Father God. And we pray that everyone, Father God, that will ever hear this message, that you would open up their ears and their hearts to receive everything that you had planned for them to receive before the very foundation of this earth. Father, we pray against the works of the enemy who would like to come in and wreak havoc, Father God. But we just speak against anything that he has planned, oh, Father God. And we pray that no weapon formed against our sister from the enemy would prosper, but that she will deliver this message in the way that you had planned for her to deliver it before the foundation of this earth. So we just give praise to your name and glory and honor to your name, and thank you for this privileged opportunity. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Sister
amen.
Andrea, you can go ahead and start.
Good afternoon, everyone. Thanks, everyone, for coming in and joining us today. And first, I'd like to give thanks and honor and praise to God who has allowed me to be here today sharing this with you. Thank you to everyone that has joined us, and also to the listeners who may listen to this blog later on. Also to Sister Faith for inviting me to speak and for hosting the program and for having the patience to wait the last several weeks for me to be on the program. My message today is coming from a life personal experience, and it identifies how my faith in operation worked the way it worked for me. But it didn't just work for me, it worked for other people in their lives as well, and how when we combine our faith with our brothers and sisters, it becomes a force to reckon with. In this situation, more is better. The scripture we're using today is Genesis 50:20. You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives. So let me start this by telling you, it may have been the fourth, the fifth, or the 50th time I read through Genesis, when I was able to finally understand the significance of Joseph's journey as a slave to the multitude of Hebrews who were direct descendants of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph. When Joseph died at the age of 110, he told his family that he wanted his bones to be taken to Canaan when the people return there someday. We all pretty much know the story of Joseph and his brothers. Of Jacob's 12 sons, Joseph was the favorite. I was never anybody's favorite, but I'd like to think I was God's favorite. Joseph was the special one. He was the one that got the special coat of many colors, and his brothers naturally hated him. They were very jealous of Joseph, and that jealousy easily turned to hate. Now, keep in mind, these guys are much older than Joseph, but he did have one younger brother, Benjamin. When Joseph decided to share one of his two dreams, one of the dreams, there were sheaves of grain bowed down to Joseph's sheaf. And the other one, the sun, the moon, and the 11 stars also bowed down to him. The family, not Joseph, mind you, but the family determined that Joseph thought one day his family would bow down to him. In fact, that was very true. Naturally, this made them hate him all that much more. Now, let's fast forward just a little bit. The brothers went with their flocks to Shechem, and Joseph was sent to check on his brothers. When they saw him coming, their intent was to kill him. And they ended up throwing him in a cistern, and later they sold him to a caravan of Ishmaelites. And those Ishmaelites happened to be descendants of their grandfather's Isaac's firstborn son, Ishmael, who in turn took Joseph to Egypt, sold him to Potiphar, Pharaoh's captain of the guard. Now, while he was in Egypt, Joseph became a slave in the house of Potiphar, and it became very obvious that God was with him. Joseph was pretty quickly trusted to become in charge of the whole household, and apparently he must have been a pretty good-looking guy because Potiphar's wife continually sought his attentions in a most inappropriate manner. This became problematic for Joseph, and eventually she got revenge on him by falsely accusing him. We'll get back to that. Joseph was then put in prison. Now, check this out. While Joseph was in prison, God once again showed favor to Joseph. Joseph became the right-hand man of the warden, who gave Joseph a responsible position in the prison. And at some point, Pharaoh's cupbearer and the baker were also thrown into prison. They both had strange dreams that only Joseph could interpret with God's help. The cupbearer's dream revealed that he would soon be back at his job, while the baker's dream revealed that he would be executed. Joseph only asked one thing of the baker: please remember me and speak to the Pharaoh on my behalf. And that didn't happen. The baker bolted from prison and basically never looked back until some time later. Now, Pharaoh had begun to have strange dreams about thin cows, seven of them, eating fat cows, and then seven thin stalks of grain swallowing fat ones. And there was not a soul in his employment that could tell the Pharaoh the meaning of his dreams. And then the cupbearer all of a sudden remembered Joseph. Joseph first went to God, and then, giving God all the credit for the interpretations, he told Pharaoh that his dreams meant that after 7 years of abundant crops, there would be 7 years of famine. And as we proceed to look at the life of Joseph, he excelled throughout his service in Egypt, a foreigner. Joseph was charged with storing the food. He became second in command over the whole nation of Egypt and was given royal robes. He was given Pharaoh's ring. He was given a wife, and he was also given a new name. Throughout Joseph's life, all of us have, like Joseph's life, we've all experienced a few hiccups. And like us, Joseph struggled, and his struggles were very, very real. But because of who he was, where he came from, and the teachings in Joseph's life, Joseph was able to turn lemons into lemonade, and he maintained his integrity. The struggles in our life we face are very real as well. We don't always know where God is leading us. what direction he is taking us. But Jeremiah 29:11 tells us, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future." Now, I recall a time in my life where Jeremiah 29:11 and Genesis 50:20 became my manna. It was a very dark time in my life that I could not, for the life of me, understand why this was happening. Now, I was no Joseph, certainly no one's favorite child, but it was Joseph's integrity that stirred me. It was how he remained steadfast, believing that this was done to him, what in appearance was meant for harm, but God was using that whole situation not just to save their family, but to save their family all the way to Exodus and all the way on to Canaan. My story pales in comparison to Joseph's, but the gut-wrenching angst may have been very similar. Over 25 years after I relocated to Florida, and it was a little over a year after my divorce that I was encouraged to come down here and start over and get some help raising my son, who was about 3 at the time. None of that happened, but that's another victory dance. About that time, I pretty much settled into my life nicely, remarried, was working at a job that paid very well, but it kind of didn't satisfy my needs for a variety. My husband at that time had become very abusive, and after having him locked up, I began searching for a way to get out of the marriage. It was around that time he was incarcerated that I was notified that I was being investigated for theft of $80,000. I was stunned and just felt as though I couldn't go any further in life. It was just too many things against me. Had I moved down here, was it the wrong thing to do? Was it a forced move? What was going on and why was this happening now? This thing was bigger than big, and I had no clue why and on what grounds. What I did know was I didn't have $80,000. I can laugh now and tell people if I had 10% of that $80,000, I would surely have not moved to Florida and lived with my mother for 6 months. Around that time, fear just took over in my life. Shortly after my trip home to face those charges, it appeared that I was going to be stuck with this charge for the rest of my life. I realized at the time this battle was real. I needed to gird up. I needed to snap out of it. And I knew that I was not going to be able to take this laying down. I needed to fight back. They were not going to pin this on me. The people that knew about this decided just not to mention anything about what they were doing. Throughout the universe, just as between warring nations, there's going to be a battle of good and evil, between God and Satan, between justice and injustice, between morality and immorality. And even that same battle is waged with every individual. And while evil brings out its own destruction even now, there will, praise God, be a time when there will be a great destruction of evil, and its champions will take place. And in its final destruction, there will be a permanent state of peace and righteousness in the eternal kingdom of God. But until that time, our faith must be an extension of God's grace. For over 10 years, this loomed over my head. I never made it back home for the second court appearance, only the first one. And pretty soon, my fear became very real. In the back of my head, I knew I was going to have to find a way to get this resolved. By now, I was a lot stronger. After sharing my story in confidence to a woman of God who I trusted, she shared Philippians 1:6 with me and saying, "Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus." So I boldly prayed for resolution, wherever that would take me. When I tell you that God turned that situation so far around, the judge apologized to me. I rarely share this story, and for many reasons. The main one is that it's so very emotional to recall. There are other people that are involved that I would never dare use their names because, as far as they're concerned, it's a done deal. Doesn't matter what it did to me and how it affected me, they've managed to go on with their lives. After finding counsel in Cleveland that I could trust, because the first attorney apparently thought I was guilty. He demanded $10,000 up front and promised me that I would be in prison had I not paid it. I didn't pay it. The new attorney searched and discovered that after my interview, my first interview, they had proof that there was $80,000 missing. But it was missing before I even became an employee. I knew that there was a major component missing when we entered new data into our brand new computer system. But that was not my concern or for me to figure out, because that was the manager's job. I also knew that the manager spent days searching and searching and searching for that discrepancy but never found it. And when she left for vacation, putting me in charge, she never came back. After visiting her family, she returned home, landed in the emergency room, and in 24 hours, she was dead. She had all the information in her head. By the time this was coming to a head, I had been in business for about 6 years. And at that time, God just blessed the business to prosper. Not only was I able to fly back and forth to resolve this issue, this old mold that was hanging over my life, I was able to speak directly to the judge, and I thanked her for pouring through the documents my attorney had delivered to her chambers. While in bondage over this event that took more than 16 years of my life, not only did God allow me to prosper, he blessed me to find out every aspect of the investigation pertaining to the additional theft, not the $80,000 theft. And yes, there was money missing. There was a lot of money missing. And when my attorney faxed the papers to me, I was shocked to find out the young lady I had brought in as a student to work part-time and then full-time had stolen over $6,000. There were other charges of fraud, embezzlement, kiting checks, all by the people that I loved and trusted. And although I was relieved to have my name cleared, I was still devastated that these people I trusted would put me in that type of financial position to make me have to afford to get an attorney and pour through these issues. But I wouldn't have made it if God hadn't put me in the financial position to be able to do so, and I thank God for that. God made sure I was able to not only afford the attorney but pay the fees, and there was one repayment of a check that was forced through the system after I left using my security code, which was one of the things that was instrumental in helping him to build a case, that things were happening after I had resigned my position and was prepared to relocate to Florida with my son shortly after my divorce. Now, I would never compare my life to that of Joseph. The only parallels are innocence and unfortunate circumstances by people we deeply cared about, and those people that took what we felt like a lifetime to resolve those things, I should say. Joseph was not only able to forgive his brothers, but he was able to provide for their future and for the future of Israel. I don't think I did that, but I was able to provide for our home and rebuild the house and remodel the house, and thank God we were able to stay in the house. But how amazing is it that his brothers thought he was dead, and here all along he was running the biggest and richest country in biblical times. It took me a minute to forgive, but eventually I had to in order to move on. And after the economic decline in 2008, the house that we bought and still live in, after giving up our dream home so that I could start the business, we kind of planned to redo this house, flip it, and leave. But after everything went up in smoke with the economy, the renovations being complete, we stayed. While so many of my business clients and friends and associates had to close their doors, file bankruptcy, lose their homes, we were blessed to just stay put, kind of like Joseph. Are there any questions, comments?
I got one. Thank you for sharing that with us. And as I was going through it, you were saying something about the things that you had to go through because you didn't know how you were able to go through that.
Mm-hmm.
But you knew you would because of the faith that you have in God. And I just wanted to say on that, it's a position that we have, and we have to fight for that right position in the spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And we got to walk in the spirit so that we don't have to fight in the spirit. We don't want to fight because God is going to fight our battles for us, but we got to remain in faith and believe that God will fight it for us. And when you fight it, you won't lose.
Well, two things
to me.
With that,
go ahead. Yeah.
I didn't have any fight in me when I found out what was going on. There was no fight. As far as I was concerned, I just became a puddle on the floor.
Mm-hmm.
I'm dealing with a domestic violence situation here in Florida, and then I'm being charged with embezzling $80,000 that I didn't have. It was a time where all I could say was, let me just open the Bible and see what God's word is to me. There was no remembrance for me about faith. My
mm-hmm.
faith did not start growing until after all of this was over, and I was
mm-hmm.
able to sit back and say, but God did. Look at
what
God
exactly.
did. He remained faithful.
Yeah.
And then my mustard seed grew into a watermelon seed, and so it's
mm-hmm.
still growing. And daily, even with the situation with Edom, I think of how often we prayed, and I would say things to him, and he would say, Mom, you just prophesied to me that this was going to happen. Those things did happen, but I still didn't have that faith for myself. So surely
mm-hmm.
I didn't have faith back then, not for me. I just wanted it to be over and done with, but faith was not a part of that. But I thank God
mm-hmm.
afterwards I was able to see that's where that faith began to grow. That's when it was planted.
Right.
Yeah.
Right, and it's just like the story that you told, how God gave Joseph the being able to be a king and
mm-hmm.
again restoring his family. But before he got there, he could not see all this happening because it seems like every time he moved forward, something else was pulling him back.
Exactly.
He was in the dungeon. He was in prison. You know, it's no way you could see this happening. But God spoke it over him, and it became. And his family was restored exactly the way he said it would be.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's almost in relation to the story that you told in the Bible.
That was a very pinnacle point in time. I'm sorry.
Yeah, if you couldn't see what's going to happen, look at what
mm-hmm.
happened after the fact.
Right.
So
and there was not a lot of talk
yeah.
about faith in those times. Not, you know, people were just like, keep praying to God, keep praying and things to work out. But I became reclusive. My oldest son was also involved in an abuse case with the daycare. So all of these things
mm-hmm.
going on at the time, I still got up and went to work every day. I still prayed every night. I did have a peace within me, but I didn't know that that was the beginning of that seed of faith that was being planted. And
mm-hmm.
and now when things are happening in my life, I don't get so as alarmed. I just say, I know that God's going to use this for his purpose. There's a reason for it. Just go with it. Because when you fight it and you try to take things into your own hands, well, let me see, maybe I can borrow the money and then I can put it. All that does is complicate God's plan.
Yep,
that's all that
it does.
Does.
Exactly. That's exactly what it is.
Exactly.
Because even if you can't see it, you feel like you got to take something into your own hands.
That's true.
Even though you got to trust God, you got to trust God. So I thank you for sharing this with us. It's been amazing how God works.
It is.
And I look at my own life, you know, things happening to me. Why is this happening? Why is that happening? And I couldn't see no way out. It's just
mm-hmm.
so dark. It's so dark. Why is this happening to me? But
when people tell me they're going through hell, I say, just keep walking. Eventually, you can walk right out of it.
Yeah, that's right.
Sister Andrea?
Yes, the deacon.
You know, a lot of times when we look at it, biblical lessons have a purpose.
Mm-hmm.
I say when you was in business and running a business, you are leading a group of people, that are flawed, and they create obstacles and difficulties. And a lot of times the goals are not mapped out very clearly, and they are not desirable terms, but the obstacle frequently blot out it from view.
Mm-hmm.
Was what blotted out with Joseph's brothers was that they could not see into the future, but God was looking into the future with Joseph about the family coming and that he would let him enter into Egypt,
mm-hmm.
even though he had obstacles and a lot of things he thought was blotted out. But he still came through to the second highest position in Egypt and to request his family to come in.
Exactly,
and
especially during the famine at that time. God all knew and all
foreseen. They could not see that. All they could see was when he had the dream and explained the two dreams to them, and he said about the sun and the moon would bow down to 11 stars. Now, the 11 stars represent the 11 brothers.
Exactly.
And the sun and the moon represent the father, even though, because we get the moon get light from the sun.
Right.
But the mother was dead already back when the birth of Benoni, which Jacob renamed him Benjamin.
Mm-hmm.
But we can't foresee the future. And there's only one biblical account of a human seeing into the future.
Right.
Was that in the seventh chapter of Acts, when Stephen was being stoned to death by accusation when he presented his case to the Sanhedrin court.
Right.
That he, being filled with the Holy Ghost, he looked up into heaven and seen Jesus standing at the right hand of the Father.
Amen.
So God empowered him by him being filled with the Holy Ghost to see beyond death because he hadn't died yet. But when he died, he said, don't lay this sin to their charge.
Mm.
And the thing about it is that in Matthew, I think it's 5:44, he said that to love your enemy and bless them that curse you, do good unto them that hate you, and pray for them which despisably use you and persecute you. And the body of Christ is always being persecuted, not by one another, but Satan is always going to put obstacles in your way. But like you had a purpose, you stood for him, and you didn't give up, but you handled it with compassion and love against the adversaries that was trying to bring you down.
Amen. Yeah, because not one of them stood up and said, she couldn't have done that. She's not that kind of person. They kept their mouths shut so that the focus would continue to be on me and never be on them. There was another that stole as well, but I'm not sure how much. I know it wasn't, you know, the $6,000. And I think that's what, you know, over those years, maybe during that time, that God was just continuously bringing revelations out and showing them, you know, where these monies were really going. Because they kind of felt like, well, they're going to pin it all on her. I'm scot-free. I'm just going to sit here and be a dummy. I don't know nothing. But apparently they didn't cover the tracks well enough. So
that's what we call investigation.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Sister Andrea, that was a very blessed presentation that you brought forth today, and how you just took your subject matter, related it to what you had gone through. So that's always a great illustration to put before people. And I do believe that this is a message that will touch the hearts of many, because lots of people go through different things that they can relate to similarly as to what you're talking about, accusations being brought against them, you know, no proof or anything like that. And so I appreciated the presentation greatly. I thought you delivered it well. And you made a very good point. I didn't know that you had to go through an obstacle like that. But just praise God for how he worked things out. Hallelujah.
Yes.
And when you're faithful and you're walking in the way that the Lord wants you to walk, the Lord will work this out. And it was a good presentation in the sense of reminding people what all Joseph had to go through, because it wasn't just a few days or a few weeks.
It was a lifetime.
You know, quite a bit of time here had elapsed, okay?
Right.
And so it's to give hope to people that, okay, you've waited thus far, but continue to hold on, continue to hold on. And as I bring this to a close, I see things unfolding right before my own eyes in my own family with a young nephew that right today is in prison. And praise be unto God. The things that have been unraveled, the things that have been revealed, is really beginning to open up a door for him that he's going to, by the grace of God, be exonerated.
Amen.
And so, you know, it's just a testimony to what God can do in any given situation. Amen. So I thank you for your participation today. Amen.
Amen. And I know God's using him in a mighty way while he's been incarcerated. And we'll continue
Amen.
To use him when he is released. I do believe he will be sent home soon, very soon.
Amen. Praise be unto God. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Any more questions or comments? Okay, Sister Beverly, would you like to close us in prayer?
Amen. I sure would. Dear Heavenly Gracious Father, we just come right now just thanking you for this blessed presentation that you put on Sister Andrea's heart to bring forth here today. And I just pray for people, Father God, that are going through like situations of where people are blaming them for this or blaming them for that, and they haven't done the things that they've been charged against. But I thank you because you are a God that sees all, you hear all, you know all. And your word says that you are busy working things out for the good for those that are yours and they're called to your purpose, Father God. So I pray right now, Father, that you would help people to just hold on, Father God. Just hold on for those that walk in your truth. I pray that you would just give them the strength to just hold on because you are going to come through because your word tells us, oh, Father God, that vengeance is yours and that you will repay the heavenly Father God. So thank you, and I just pray for everybody that will ever hear this recording that they will be touched in their hearts and blessed by it. And these things I pray and give you thanks for, Father God, in the mighty and awesome name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Sister Andrea, for your presentation
today. Thank you, Sister Faith.
And thank you for all of you that tuned in with us today. Thank you, Sister Beverly, for your opening and closing in prayer.
Amen.
And with that, we will be... See you guys next week and have a very blessed evening. God bless you all.
God bless you
Amen.
All. Have a blessed day, Deacon.
Amen.
Sister Beverly, Sister Faith, have a wonderful day and to all you listeners out there.
You also.
Thank you.
Peace and blessings.
Good night.
Good night.